We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back to Shoot the Shot, an NBA and variety show. It is October 22nd, 2021. Jonathan Osborne, as always, I am joined by my co-host, Luke Sylvia. Luke, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm good. I'm getting back into the swing of seeing NBA games on my TV basically every night. And oh my goodness, the Heat are beating the Bucks 29-5. So there's that. Yeah, that's not great.
The Bucks are missing a ton of guys tonight. I'm not reading into that.
It's almost the end of the first quarter. The Bucks have 5 points.
I'm not reading too much. That's crazy.
Anyway, yeah, Heat are still trash. Pull up the scores. Right. Bias not aside, the Heat are trash. So, other than that, man, I mean, really, like I said, seeing NBA on the TV basically every night so far has been incredible. So,
well, I'm upset tonight. I'm unhappy. I had been enjoying this NBA season until the NBA's 76 actually, because they voted and I guess they tied on two individuals and they couldn't decide who to pick, so they threw them both in there. The NBA 75 list came out, the 75 greatest players of all time, according to a bunch of people that, in the media and in the league and everything like that. And usually we don't really talk about the Magic on this podcast, Luke, but two glaring omissions on this list. I mean, there's a few, I think, that you could argue outside of the Magic. But Dwight Howard not making this list. Tracy McGrady didn't make the list either. We can talk about Tracy in a little bit. But Dwight Howard in particular, this just really upsets me because this is a trend that you and I have talked about on the show before, that we've seen on Twitter now really for years and just NBA media in general, SportsCenter, ESPN. But Dwight Howard not getting his roses, not getting the proper respect and appreciation that he deserves as a player. Dwight Howard is a guy for like 2008 to like 2011, like 2007, somewhere around there, was legitimately a top five player in the league, finished top five MVP voting 4 years in a row, the only player in NBA history to win back-to-back-to-back defensive players of the year, brought the 2009 Orlando Magic to the NBA Finals at 23 years old, was not just one of the best centers of his generation, was legitimately one of the best players of his generation. Whenever you're putting together a list like this, talent absolutely matters. The resume absolutely matters. The couple of names I'm going to bring up, I'm big fans of these guys. I absolutely love Damian Lillard. He might be my favorite player in the league right now outside of the Magic. Damian Lillard should not be on this list above Dwight Howard. Damian Lillard has barely won a handful of playoff series, has not reached an NBA Finals. Has he made a first All-NBA team? He might. Dwight Howard, I believe, made four first-team All-NBA teams. I think seven All-NBA teams in total. A handful of first-team All-Defensive appearances. Again, the Finals appearance in 2009. Damian Lillard made it to the Western Conference Finals and got absolutely smoked, okay? Damian Lillard right now, if you're talking about the talent, that's one thing, but you have to look at the resume as well. And Dwight Howard has just as complete of a resume as any of these guys in recent memory that have been put on this list. Like, we talk about guys like, you know, like Carmelo Anthony. Like, Carmelo Anthony, one of the best all-time scorers in NBA history, made it to a Western Conference Finals. Outside of that, didn't have a ton of team success. Like, Dwight Howard, 23 years old, brought the Magic to the NBA Finals. Luke, I'm irate about this. How do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about Dwight Howard specifically, as you said, everything else, right? But the one, another thing, just to continue to pile on here, is that I think it was not until his 15th season that he didn't average a double-double. So, like, just outlandish things that, like, even when he was washed compared to what he was in Orlando, he was still averaging double-doubles. It didn't matter where he was. And then you say, okay, well, he needs to win a ring. Well, there you go, guys. He won a ring. I understand it was with the Lakers, but, I mean, he still was 23 when he led the Magic to the finals. I don't see a reason why he can't be a top 75 guy when you have the guys like Lillard. And I think that there's an argument, honestly, for Anthony Davis. And
thank you. Thank you, Luke. What in the hell has Anthony Davis done that Dwight Howard wouldn't have even been more capable of?
The only thing is a longer prime, I guess, but, like, that's it. I mean, he AD would love to have won 3 DPOYs in a row, would have loved to lead a team to the finals when he was 23. I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer. And also, there's guys on the list. I understand they're trying to, like, make everybody happy when it comes to, like, the era it was. And
we're about
we gotta
to piss
slip
off
in
some grandpappies here.
Yeah, you can...
If you were in the league when they were dribbling like this, you do not deserve to be on this list. Okay?
Like when they were... Like they're Stanley from The Office. That's what some Literally. Of those dudes were dribbling like. But, yeah, I think that it was... I mean, it's a no-brainer, right? And, I mean, obviously we're Magic fans, but there are non-Magic fans that I've seen who have voiced their agreeance, basically, on Twitter with us today. Yeah, so I don't see a reason why he shouldn't be on the list. The one that I have an issue with is because of his postseason greatness, a finals MVP, 4 rings. I'm talking about Tony Parker. I think he absolutely could have made this list. I don't
see...
He'd
be on the list over Damian Lillard, absolutely. Kyrie Irving, another guy that should probably be on the list ahead of Damian Lillard, maybe even like a Russell Westbrook or an Anthony Davis. Like, this list... for the most part, is like 99% solid, but the Dwight Howard thing is just so egregious to me because in media circles, he's not liked. He's not a popular guy, and that's the only reason to leave Dwight Howard off of this list, but you're 100% right with Tony Parker.
I wanted to also, so I just actually pulled up, let's see, some snubs, according to somebody at Yahoo. Let's see, I can give them credit. Brian Kalbrowski or Kabrowski. Would you say that this is fact or fiction, Jonathan? Chris Bosh should be on the top 75
fact.
List. 2 NBA titles, an all, second team selection, 11 all-stars, 81st in rebounds, 95th in scoring, 111th in blocks. I mean, he was obviously one of the key cogs to helping, the Heat win championships. I think that you could obviously make a case for Bosh. I don't know exactly what have they said. I know they were voting, obviously, because they had a tie at whatever and had to add one other guy. But have they said, like, have you read anything about criteria, what they were actually looking for? Was it all kind of subjective?
I have no idea. And
I'm guessing it was subjective because it's like MVP voting, right? I mean, it's just subjective. And these guys, you had probably had older guys voting, younger guys voting, and they're all casting their votes. And that's how some of those, older guys got in. Don't get me wrong. I think that the older eras of basketball should be represented in a 75-year celebration, basically, simply because, they really, helped the game get to where it is.
Yeah, they paved the way.
And I don't want to, normally I am a huge proponent of if you name somebody that should be on a list, you have to take off, like, name who you're going to take off, right? I'm not fully comfortable doing that with those older guys because I never even sniffed watching these guys play. Now, I know we roast them a little bit with their dribbling and whatever, and it's very true that today's era would just
these
just
guys
run them over with the
cooked bus
and then back up and then run them over again and then back up and then the things that today's NBA players would do is just ridiculous.
They would burn Kyrie at the stake because they would think he's a witch. Okay? They would tie Steph Curry to four different horses and have them run in different directions because they would accuse these guys of witchcraft and wizardry. They'd be like, what in the Hogwarts are we seeing right now? They would not be able to comprehend the things that these guys are able to do with a basketball today. And that's just a fact.
Yeah. So,
Eustace, listening to us right now in the nursing home, I apologize, man, but it's the facts.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. You do have to appreciate the different eras, right? And you have to kind of, like, you have to look at them, not really in a vacuum, but, like, you can't really compare the games. Like, there was no three-point line. Obviously, the spacing was so much different. The rules were different, you know, just to a certain extent. But you cannot tell me, like, Kyrie Irving is not busting that you-know-what on these guys. Like, outside of, like, Bill Russell and Wilt, like, back in the 60s, they would have no idea what to do with Dwight Howard. Absolute no idea.
Yeah.
This is something that is more of a term in the game community, but the skill cap nowadays in the NBA is so much higher than what it was in the 60s and the 70s. Like, everything has changed. We have better athletes now. They have so much better resources at their disposal. There's so much more information that is shared now. Like, I get what they're trying to do, but if we're really picking the 75 greatest players, you got to pick the best 75 guys. Like, if you were doing an all-time fantasy draft, there's no way that you're picking some of these guys over Dwight Howard or like a Tracy McGrady, Tony Parker, Kyrie Irving. It's just, what are we doing here? Like, yes, honor them. Maybe find a different way to do that, but the game has just changed, man. You can't tell me guys today are not better than guys back then. I don't really agree with that. So, Tracy McGrady, man, like, literally all the talent in the world. And I'm sorry. You take Tracy McGrady, you put him up against Damian Lillard. Tracy McGrady does everything that Damian Lillard can do, but at 6'8", instead of, 6'3", 6'4", whatever it is that Dame is. And I feel bad because I love Dame. Like, I really, really, really love Dame. But putting him above some of these other guys, just egregious. It makes me very unhappy. I feel very passionately about this. I'm sure there are plenty of people that are just as passionate and disagree with me here, but, man, you got any other, omissions from this list that you're, questioning a little bit?
Not really. I don't want to be one of those guys that also says, like, I don't care. But, like, this list, it's fine. It's just the NBA trying to do something nice
it's very solid.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to be. I mean, as long as you include those key guys, which they did throughout most of the list, it's just kind of when we get down to splitting hairs about certain people, it's like you could have taken out some people there to make room for others, and they didn't. So they're just trying to make everybody happy, but... Yeah.
You know how the old folks are, it's like the old adage, like, get off my lawn. It's our lawn now. Okay. Get back inside with your backgammon. It's a new era. And there are some pretty glaring omissions from this list, unfortunately. I'm going to try to calm down, before the next segment here.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, J.J. Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, J.J. breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I feel a little bit better now. I feel a little bit better.
That's good.
Appreciate
that's
that.
That's good.
Couple of housekeeping things, Luke. We just got right into that conversation. We felt so passionate about the source material there. We forgot to shout out our new patrons. So shout out to Ellis, Nathan Lynn, Carson Tulo. Really, really appreciate you guys. Shout out to our other patrons, Zico, Keith Garcia, Armin, Drew Gooden, Court Cousins Podcast. If you guys are interested in supporting the show, please go to patreon.com/thesixmanshow. We do have a few different tiers, even if you just want that to be a couple of bucks a month. Really, really appreciate all of your support. If you guys are listening to this, if you're in the Orlando area today, from 5 o'clock to 6:30, we're going to be at Big Storm Tap Room. That is connected to the Amway Center to hang out before the Magic take on the New York Knicks. So please be sure to come out, hang out. It's going to be a great time. So, Luke, this is now the third night of the NBA season. We had a great opening night. Nets, Bucks, Lakers, Warriors, really great games. We've seen some great performances so far. Just wanted to check in with you and see, just it's the first week of the season. We don't want to overreact to too much. But what are some of the teams or some of the players that have really stood out to you so far?
So a lot of the players that have stood out to me, obviously Giannis stood out to me. Night one, Giannis, it took me approximately 15 minutes to send you and our producer Kevin a text that just said, I understand it's early, it's overreaction season, Giannis Antetokounmpo is the best player in the NBA, and I understand it was an early reaction. Kevin pointed out, it's not really a hot take. It's not, but Kevin Durant is the best player in the league. It was LeBron. Then KD had it for, in my opinion, for like the offseason for me. And then, Giannis decides to come out, who received a lot of criticism from me the past few years because he couldn't shoot. He goes 1-for-4 from three. That's fine. But he was just dominant. Like he looked incredible. 7 assists as well on top of his 32 points and 14 rebounds. Looked incredible. So him and the Bucks, they stood out to me despite getting absolutely spanked right now by the Heat. We'll chalk it up as a fluke in the fact that they have so many guys out right now. Kind of going forward, Warriors-Lakers game was fun, right? Warriors win that game. The guys that have stood out to me so far besides Giannis have been relatively the younger guys, right? So Chris Duarte from the Pacers stood out to me. He's a guy, Eric Fawcett was on our show over the offseason to talk about the draft, everything like that. Duarte was one of his kind of dark horse guys, and I whether he said that on the podcast or not, can't exactly remember, but he and I have talked before the season started. He's like, I really like Chris Duarte. I think he went too late. I think he should have gone sooner. Goes 6-for-9 from three, and just looked incredible. I thought Sabonis was going to drop 50 last night, Jonathan. He started out the game 16 points at the end of the first quarter, and I was like, what is happening? And then Chris Duarte and Malcolm Brogdon had 28 and 11. I mean, the Pacers looked good last night and then fell apart at the hands of LaMelo Ball. LaMelo Ball he's another player that I am very impressed by. Obviously, we knew it was coming. 31 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists for LaMelo Ball. Showed up looking like a human highlighter in his car and his weird, was that like a trench coat? I don't know if you saw that.
It was interesting.
Yeah, so and it's very LaMelo Ball to a T. So LaMelo, another guy for me. I'm sure someone that stood out to you maybe was the Knicks.
You just want to take my entire list, because I was going to say LaMelo. I was going to then mention Evan Fournier. Go right ahead.
Honestly, I wasn't going to say Fournier, but so you just let the cat out of the bag there with yours. Going to that game, though, for me, it was Jaylen Brown. 46 points, Jonathan. He was scoring a point a minute. He played 46 minutes in that double overtime.
Yeah.
46 points, 16 of 30 from the field, 8 of 14 from 3, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, and managed not to foul out. He was in foul trouble and still did all that. I mean, what else do you want from Jaylen Brown? It sucked for him that he couldn't get the win last night, but I was watching that game last night, and I was like, neither of these teams should feel bad if they lose this game, unless you're Jason Tatum. Who went 7 of 30 and got absolutely strapped by RJ Barrett last night. Those were kind of the main standouts for me, Jonathan. I'm sure I took some of yours in that list.
Yeah,
but
it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. Yeah, like LaMelo, the thing that stood out to me was like 7 of 9 from 3. Because, I mean, the kid can do it all, get to the rim whenever he wants. There is not a window that he cannot fit the basketball through to get to someone else. If he's shooting the ball like that, like the kid, I mean, pardon, you know, the pun there, but if he's shooting the basketball like that, the kid is, he's going to be an all-star this year. Like, there's no if, ands, or buts around it. If he continues to play like this and shoot the ball that way, I mean, he's not going to shoot 77% from three this year. If he does, I mean, more power to you, but not going to happen. For me,
MVP.
Yeah, MVP. Yeah, exactly. For me, Ja Morant, 34 minutes, 37 points, so more than a point a minute.
Right.
58% from the floor, 17 of 29, only 1 of 4 from 3. The majority of these buckets are him just getting to the rim whenever he wants, and there's nothing that anybody can do about it. If he starts to shoot the 3 efficiently at any time in his career, this is going to be a kid that we're talking about, perennial all-star, MVP, going to be doing damage in postseasons and things like that. He looked incredible last night. And then, this might be Giannis's league, but if there's one guy that I need for one game still over anybody else, I'm still taking LeBron James. Coming into this season, you know, some of the health issues that he had last season, I was like, does LeBron still have it? Is he still going to be able to kind of rise to the occasion? Yep. 37 minutes, 34 points. What are we looking at? 11 rebounds here, 5 assists. Really kept the Lakers in that game.
5 of 11 from 3.
Yeah, really kept the Lakers in that game.
Dude,
on a night
there
that... No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, they're just thinking back to that game and the threes, like it was effortless. Yeah. It was effortless. 5 for 11 from three. I you're right. You're totally right about naming LeBron there. Obviously sucks that, you know, one of those things that like you lose opening night. People don't really talk about it as much. Also, you guys are haters. That's also why we're not talking about it.
Yeah.
but you know, I mean, LeBron looked great. He really did. And so for him to drop 34, 11, and 5, I mean, he looked incredible. Russell Westbrook, still finding his groove.
There is a
4 for 13 from the field.
There is a stat, Luke, that I've heard, you know, really for years. And, you know, a lot of times I've just echoed it, because if you hear a guy like Zach Lowe say something, or, you know, Kevin O'Connor, you're like, you know what? That guy's probably done his homework. He probably knows what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. So when I'm having conversations about people, I'm just going to casually interject that in. And that stat was Russell Westbrook being the worst volume three-point shooter in the history of the NBA. So I said, you know what? Is it really true, Luke? Can he really be the worst volume three-point shooter in the history of the league? Luke, out of 200, I believe it's 81 players in NBA history that average more than 3 three-point attempts for their career, you know, per game.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook is dead last. Absolute dead last. Anybody that decides that's what they, you know, I guess qualify a volume three-point shooter, more than 3 attempts a game, which I think is pretty fair. At some point, if I'm Russ, I'm just like, hey, you know what? This isn't really my strength, and I'm going to move away from this, because he does everything else so well at such a high level. If he could just remove that aspect from his game and focus on the things that he's really, really good at, I feel like Russell Westbrook could be even better, even more efficient.
Yeah, and looking at that, I mean, for his career, he shoots 30%. How many attempts does he shoot for his career? Almost 4.
Yeah.
And he shoots 30%. You know what? You know who could really benefit from Russell Westbrook's mentality, Jonathan? To just give it a go. Mr. Ben Simmons.
Oh,
he could
my
really,
goodness. It can't get much worse.
Really, it can't. But if he had the mentality of Russell Westbrook, I'm the greatest at everything that I do. I can do it all. I can play make. I could play defense if I wanted to. I can shoot threes.
You mean instead of leaving practice on a Wednesday afternoon or a Tuesday afternoon and going to the gentleman's establishment? Allegedly. Allegedly. We don't have proof of that. This is speculatory, but that's
you
the rumor.
You know what's the worst part about that? If that's not true...
The weekday day shift at a gentleman's club, I've never visited one, but what I've heard, it ain't the time to be there.
Well, right.
Someone tweeted, going to a strip club on a Tuesday day shift is not something that's going to make you feel better.
No, and here's the thing, Jonathan. What I was saying was it wouldn't have made a difference if he went to the strip club and it was true or not for me. Because he's already I've already got the lowest opinion of him possible. So even if that's true or not, it doesn't move the needle for me.
Have you ever seen the movie Little Rascals?
Yes.
Dear Ben Simmons, I hate your stinking guts. You are the scum between. That's how you feel about Ben Simmons right now.
Yeah, it's hard not to. And
Philly fans feel, man.
Yeah. So, but here's another thing. So it came out that, you know, he said that like mentally, he's not ready to play for the Sixers. So, mental health is one of the things that I love to talk about the most in terms of the awareness of it. However, Ben Simmons very well could be struggling mentally. But when it comes to the Sixers, he's basically just saying, like, you guys hurt my feelings. I feel betrayed by you guys. So, yada, yada. There are people who are struggling in terms of mentally, all that kind of stuff, more than Ben Simmons, who would know and have the cognitive ability not to show up to practice, regardless of how you feel about the organization, and your sweats, and what was it, a hoodie, while everybody else is wearing their practice shirts.
You pointed that out. That is not totally true. Tobias Harris was wearing the same attire as Ben Simmons that day.
Okay, and then one of them was told to leave, and one of them wasn't.
This is
so
accurate. One of them also had their cell phone lit up in their pocket doing drills.
Right.
Okay.
So
that's why I don't feel bad for him when he's saying, "Oh, I'm not mentally ready." Well, guess what? You shouldn't have your phone at practice when you're getting paid $30 million to show up and just hang out, pretty much.
Right. So I am not saying that he does not have some mental health struggles, but what I am saying is that he knows right from wrong. And he knows how to handle things. I'm sure he has great people in his corner. I hope he does and gets the support and help that he needs. But there's always a but, Jonathan. But you're a grown man. Like you know what you need to do. Your teammates tried to come out and see you. You said, get out of here. I hate that I'm talking about this right now, by the way. And I did it. I did it to myself. But I really hate it. And someone said it today in all caps on Twitter. It's just like, I don't want to see another Ben Simmons. I don't need to see every time that he leaves and enters the facility.
Right.
And it's a headline every time, and it gets clicks because everybody's like, oh, what's Ben Simmons doing? And Daryl Morey coming out and saying, I'm sorry, this is hijacking. Daryl Morey coming out and being like, this could be a 4-year thing.
Yeah.
I said, you're telling me that Biden will have been reelected by the next time this man gets figured out, or we're going to have another president. You're telling me I have to wait that long for this Ben Simmons thing. Like, you're willing.
No way.
And that is just how stubborn Daryl Morey is. He was like, unless we get a player that will move the needle, essentially, is what he said. He will stay.
He's got to say whatever he's got to say right now to try to recoup value, put leverage on other teams if they really want him. They want a difference maker. Just make the Kyrie deal. That's if I'm the Nets, I'm calling up Philadelphia. Like, I cannot think of a better scenario for both teams, both players.
Yeah, but if that's the case, like if Daryl Morey, which it does seem to be the case that he is kind of just staying pat, I do feel bad for Ben Simmons in that regard because he probably feels kind of in prison right now. And
$30 million, you could lock me up underneath anything you want for $30 million a year. I don't got the hair like that, quite obviously, but maybe Fiona from Shrek. That's more fitting, probably. Nighttime, I turn into a troll.
You know, wow.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, can we talk? really quickly, I know, you know, we talked about like our preseason stuff and our like predictions for the awards last week. The Nuggets absolutely put it on the Suns last night. Jokic, 27 points, 13 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. My most improved pick, Michael Porter Jr., I just wish he would shoot the ball more. 6 of 10 from the field, 2 of 3 from 3, like 60% from the floor, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 blocks. Like, Michael Porter Jr., just shoot the ball every single time you touch it, man. The kid just feels like he can't miss. So I'm one night in, my like opening night overreaction, I'm feeling very good about my Jokic MVP, Michael Porter Jr. most improved, Michael Malone coach of the year picks. I just want to throw that out there really quickly.
Yeah, and of course you had our Magic and OKC both start their campaign for being the worst teams in the league last night.
We don't have to get into that. We you and I will discuss all this on Sunday. We you and I have a bone to pick with you, and you know exactly what it is. But we'll wait till Sunday.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So fun stuff. Start of the league, all that kind of stuff. I think we touched on pretty much all the headlines in terms of like the slate so far. Some teams got just absolutely ran out of the gym, you know, last night. The Pacers blew that lead. I couldn't believe it. I was watching it. I couldn't believe it. Sabonis has a shot to win the game at the end and just didn't hit it. I don't know. There was a lot of things last night that made me realize, like, maybe I don't overreact to this when it's, like, established players. And that was the case. I mean, like, Dame looked bad from downtown last night.
I'm not worried about that whatsoever.
Halliburton had, what, 0 points or 2 points or something like that? Something ridiculous?
Yeah.
Yeah,
first
2 points.
First game of the season's always weird.
Yeah.
Something crazy always happens.
Yep. So, I mean, yeah. It's been a crazy start already. I'm excited for all the storylines to play out.
Going to be a fun season, that's for sure. So, Luke, we're going to take a quick break, take a word from our friends at Manscaped. And then you know we're going to talk about gambling because we're degenerates. So stay tuned.
True.
Attention, ballers. Basketball is back. Ben Simmons has 76 problems this season, but you can have none with our friends over at Manscaped. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped to keep their front and backcourt polished all year long. Trim with their new Lawnmower 4.0, which is included in the Performance Package 4.0, and watch the hair fade away. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code 6th at manscaped.com. That's code 6th, S-I-X-T-H at manscaped.com.
The Lawnmower 4.0 has a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on-off switch can engage a travel lock, and gives you the ability to turn the 4,000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. Did I mention this trimmer is waterproof too? And one, the Performance Package 4.0 also includes a free pair of Manscaped anti-chafing boxer briefs that will bring your boxer game to the next level.
Get 20% off and free shipping with the code 6th at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code 6th, S-I-X-T-H. It's time you take care of your bricks this season. All right, Luke, another week. Another week to lose some money. What are we looking at for this week with your NFL bets and college bets? How'd you do last week, actually?
So for college last week, I went 2-0, so that was good.
Respect.
Kentucky plus 22.5, and I did it just by logic. Kentucky plus 22.5, I thought too big. They covered at the last second of the game. They scored a touchdown to cover, and I was very thankful for that backdoor cover. UGA minus 22.5 bettors. You were sick. Under 82 in Ole Miss and Tennessee, you know, my biggest argument was just same as Kentucky, Georgia. Seems like too big of a number. And it definitely was. You know, I mean, over under 82, chances are I'm going to take that every day of the week. They ended up combining for like 52 or 53 points. So they didn't even sniff it. So I felt good about that. Went 2-0. College record so far for me is 8-6-2. Let's see. My NFL last week, I went 1-1. Green Bay minus 4.5. Aaron Rodgers owns you, Chicago.
That was hilarious.
Incredible. And if you guys missed it, Aaron Rodgers scores, runs it in, and tells Chicago, I still own you. And then the Steelers minus 5. They had to go to overtime. They won by 3. Obviously didn't cover. So my record for NFL is 6-6. Real quick before we get into NFL here, Jonathan, then I'll throw it to you there. I'm going Wake Forest -3 against Army this weekend. Wake's offense has been great. They're averaging 471 yards a game in the ACC in their four ACC games so far. Army, if you're a good football team, it doesn't take much to beat Army. You just sell out to stop the run because all Army does is run. They throw maybe twice a game. And then I'm going
that,
another one.
Are you being facetious or is that legitimate? They throw the ball two times a game.
I've seen games where they do it, where they have only thrown the ball twice.
That's awesome.
Let me look. Let's see. Last week, let's see what they did. They threw the ball six times last week.
Okay, so not far off.
No, not far off. The week before that, threw ten times. So, and a lot of those times, those are on trick plays. So they're on like option, triple option, whatever. It's interesting to watch, and it's fun to bet them if you do against teams that just like aren't good, because they know what's coming, but they really don't, because the triple option, the option is just so hard to defend, really, if you're not a great team, don't have the personnel. So anyway, that, and then I'm going back to the well as far as over-unders. That seem way too high. They're two high-powered offenses. Not really. Ole Miss really is the high-powered offense that I'm referring to here. Matt Corral, the quarterback, may not play. LSU, you know, should run the ball on Ole Miss because they can't defend it very well. I don't know that they even sniffed the 70, so I'm taking the under 76 in Ole Miss versus LSU. So that being said, Jonathan, how was NFL last week for you, and what's it kind of look like for you this week?
So the NFL was good to me last week. I think there was one surprise last week, and that was the Chargers getting absolutely boat raced by the Baltimore Ravens. So I had them in a teaser with the Rams, so I lost that. I threw up like a crazy 16, parlay. Obviously, you never hit those. Chargers messed that up for me, but the Bills would have messed that up for me as well. Outside of that, I had the Bengals and Jags both in 7-point teasers, hit on that. The Bucks, the Packers, 6-point teasers, hit on that. Cardinals, Cowboys, another 6-point teaser, hit on that. And then I lost the Bills bet. So last week I went 4-2. When I throw up crazy parlays like that, I don't really count that against myself. Right. It was like $10 to win 90. So it was kind of why not? I had an extra $10 sitting in the account. Might as well go ahead and throw that up. This week, I kind of had to look pretty hard for bets that I liked. I really liked the Titans. Looked like they figured out some stuff last week against the Bills. Pat Mahomes, the Chiefs, they've been struggling a little bit this week. So right now, Kansas City is favored by 4.5. So I took the Titans at home plus 4.5. Then the Lions at Rams. Rams are giving 16.5 points. It's the Jared Goff revenge game. I just feel like if there's any chance that the Lions are going to play a good, 60 minutes of football this year, it's going to be this game against the Rams. So I took the Lions plus 16.5. And then New Orleans Saints at the Seahawks. You know, I don't believe Russell Westbrook, good grief. This is an NBA podcast. Russell Wilson is going to be back this week. If they're still throwing Geno Smith out there, he's going to get annihilated. I think Jameis puts up, big numbers this week. So I've got the Saints minus 4.5 at the Seahawks. Traveling across country, always kind of tough, but Geno Smith sucks, man.
Yeah, so is that's kind of rounds out your picks there, John?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, so I've just got two for NFL like usual. I'm going to be going Ravens -6 versus the Bengals. Bengals are for real, but I think that they haven't played a team that is going to bring as much heat as the Ravens are going to be able to. And, there's talk about, obviously, the Ravens maybe, having that suspect, secondary. The Bengals might be able to take advantage of it. But we're going back to the statistics here as well. Lamar has covered the last three against Cincy and won last five straight up against them. I just think that, it'll be a fun game, but I could see the Ravens, forcing some turnovers here, getting into the backfield of Cincinnati, making them make some dumb decisions, stripping the ball, whatever it may be. I think the Ravens can cover that -6. Then I've got your Giants covering +3. Against Carolina. I just think, you can't really trust them without CMC. I don't trust Darnold. They're on the road as favorites. The reason the Giants lost last week, that largely was due in part to turnovers, losing Tony early. Things that, the Panthers, as far as takeaways go, they've only had 6 takeaways this year. So I just don't think that that'll be a reason. I think the Giants will hang in this one, make it closer than some people might think, just right off, you know, just at looking at the paper. But that for that reason, I do have Giants plus three against the Panthers.
I'll tell you why I have no faith in the Giants, and it's the offensive line. Our starting left tackle, Andrew Thomas, is now on IR, so we're not going to see him for a while. So if it's, you know, Matt Peart or Nate Solder starting at left tackle, Daniel Jones is going to be literally running for his life the entire day. And if Kenny Galladay is not ready to go, you know, we got Sterling Shepard back last week, but we need Darius Slayton to come back. If there's still no Kadarius Toney, I'm not going to be optimistic about the Giants whatsoever. We saw the ugly Daniel Jones come back last week where he's just trying to run for his life and, you know, forcing things into traffic, throwing picks. And to me, it has everything to do with Andrew Thomas not being at left tackle. He won't be there Sunday. So, I love you. Godspeed. I wouldn't put any money on the Giants this week. That's, you know, might be my heart speaking, but Godspeed. Yeah. I that's all I got to say. Another game that I'm looking at, Luke, that I don't usually bet lines quite this big, but Arizona minus 17.5 at home versus the Texans. Cardinals only undefeated team left in football. Texans are absolutely god awful. I don't know if that line could be too high.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. That'll be interesting to kind of see how that plays out.
Yeah.
I don't know the last time that I saw a spread that was 16.5, is that what you said?
Well, so 16.5, the Rams at home against the Lions, and the Cardinals at home against the Texans is minus 17.5.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty juicy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm kind of, I don't know, having like a little teaser hangover where it's like, I mean, it's just not enough action for me because they're almost like too easy. It's like 25 yeah. bucks to win 20 bucks. Part of me just wants to throw like 150 bucks on the Cardinals to cover this week. You know, see if I can, because you almost like double up at that point. So,
right.
I don't know. I'm feeling kind of frisky this week. We'll see what my gambling partner wants to do. But, yeah, Luke, NBA basketball is back. NFL season is in full swing. College football. Gators, what bowl game are they playing in this year? What do you feel like about that? Are they playing in any significant bowl game or no?
No.
No.
I think I've lost all hope. I think they're going to get smacked up by Georgia. They'll be in a bowl game, but it's not good. I already don't care about bowl games, but they're going to be in one that definitely doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, they're 4-3. Like, you have a bye this week and then you go to Jacksonville to play against Georgia and they're just going to absolutely just blow the doors off you.
Right.
Only way you get close is if, you know, you catch them sleepwalking. Georgia's never going to sleepwalk against Florida. They hate each other too much to do that. Doesn't matter how bad they are. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting, you know, then you're going to be bowl eligible. You just need 2 wins in 5 games and you play Florida State. So there's one win, right,
Kevin? Our producer always keeps his mic muted for the entirety of our podcast episodes. I can tell you he is it's taking every bit of his fiber in his being not to jump in this podcast right now.
He knows. We'll he knows it's going to be bad. But yeah, so no, I have no high hopes for the Gators as far as bowl games. I think you got to fire the defensive coordinator by the end of the season. If you don't, I think Dan Mullen's got to go. So we'll see. We will see.
All right, folks. Luke, I think that's going to do it for this week. Again, a lot of things to be excited about. I'm glad that we got to get on here and vent. I'm still very upset about Dwight Howard. If he is not on the 100 list 25 years from now, we will be right back here complaining, even more so than we did tonight. So appreciate you guys listening again. Thank you to all the patrons. Thanks for everyone that came out Wednesday night to the watch party that we had at Harry Buffalo downtown Orlando, even though the Magic got destroyed. But if you guys are in town Friday when you guys are listening to this, come down to Big Storm Tap Room. Even if you're not going to the game, you know, come hang out with us for a little bit before the game. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But for Luke Sylvia, this has been Jonathan Osborne. You guys are listening to Shoot the Shot. And we will catch you guys next time. See ya.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.